307 on the Central Coast. Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition, another week of Hometown Radio. Finally up and running now on this Monday, April 28th, 2014. I'm Dave Congleton. Always good to be with you on News Talk 920 KVEC. Joe Bowman and I will be here all the way till 7 o'clock. This is what we have planned. During the 6 o'clock hour, Joe joins me for last call. We'll sit here and take your phone calls. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. During the 5 o'clock hour, let's run a straw poll. Focus on the 4th District Supervisorial race. If you had to vote, who would you vote for? Mike Bird, Lynn Compton, or Karen Ray? Tell me why. During the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from some neighbors in San Luis Obispo who are very concerned about plans to create a transitional facility for the mentally ill in their neighborhood. They'll talk about it, and we'll hear from you. All right, Joe, thank you. It's 4:06 on the Central Coast. I'm Dave Congleton. It is Monday, April 28th, 2014. Always good to have you with us on Hometown Radio. Still to come on this broadcast, at the 6 o'clock hour, it's Last Call with Dave and Joe. We sit here and take your phone calls. During the 5 o'clock hour, let's run a straw poll in the ongoing county supervisor race in the 4th District. If you had a vote today, who would you vote for? Mike Bird, Karen Ray, or Lynn Compton? Let's see what you say during the 5 o'clock hour. This hour, we turn our attention to an issue you might have been following in the local media. Plans have been announced to convert an older facility here in San Luis Obispo into what is called a transitional facility for the mentally ill. I have two guests with me who live in the neighborhood, and they are more than a little concerned about this idea. Joining us now to talk about this proposal and their concerns, Lenny Hernandez is here, also Shelley Blamenu. Hi, folks. Thanks for being here.
Hi, David. How are you?
Hi, thank
All right.
You.
Lenny, what should we know about you, please? You've lived in the neighborhood for like 16 years?
16 years since I've been here. We're fortunately finding a nice spot to live up above the French Hospital.
Right. And let's locate this for our listeners. What neighborhood are we talking about?
Well, this would be the neighborhood above French Hospital to the north of the Old County Hospital. That's where I live.
Right.
Shelley lives a little bit further west from there. And then the neighborhood Flora, which is on the south side, is also influenced by this particular project.
And you've been there about 6 years, right, Shelley?
My husband and I have owned our home and lived there for 6 years.
And this is a totally residential neighborhood, nice neighborhood.
Completely.
Lots of families. Everything's good.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact,
is.
As Shelley's pointed out, is one of the neighborhoods where we have a very high percentage of owner occupants.
Shelley, I've just met you, but you don't look like trouble. Are you a troublemaker? You're a longtime activist, or is this one of these things where you're just concerned and you've jumped in for the first time?
I'm actually hating every minute of it.
Okay.
I have a 3-year-old that I'm raising currently at home as a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
But this feels like an incredibly important issue.
So this is your first time?
It is, yeah.
Lenny, I know you from other things. You don't seem like a troublemaker.
No, not at all. Well, we've previously talked because of the Friends of the Library involvement that I have.
All right, so what's the issue, folks? Take a minute here and bring our listeners up to speed.
Well, first of all, I want everybody to understand that we're talking about the Sunny Acres Historical Building that's behind the County Hospital off Johnson, not Dan Duvall and any of that stuff.
Right.
That's
so,
going on.
Yeah, it's Sunny Acres, but it's going to be confusing.
It could be confusing.
Right.
This is a building that was built in 1931, housed an orphanage for a bunch of years, was then turned into a juvenile detention facility, and then was closed in 1974. A beautiful brick building facade up on the hillside with tremendous views and lots of open space around it.
It's just empty now.
And it's empty, and the space is not being used officially, but... You know, for example, you happen to be involved with dogs, and I've been taking care of my son's dog for the last year. That's where I first met Shelley. We were walking in that property, walking our dog every afternoon.
So everybody walks their dogs up there.
Everybody walks. There's probably 50 to 100 people that are currently using that area for a dog walk, for nature walking, for a variety of things. Good, Shelley.
Well, and I'd also add that there's... On our street alone, we have 12 young children, and you could multiply that probably by 50, and you'd get the number of kids we have using the area. We take our kids up there all throughout the day. We just today got tadpoles out of the creek up there. My son goes up and climbs trees and plays King of the Forest, and It's a place that's used for neighbors to meet and greet, congregate, and get to know each other. And I might add, the reason why we've been able to hit the ground running with this, with our concerns, because we're together all the time.
All right. So what is it being proposed for this building?
What's being proposed is a residential mental health facility by Transitions. We've talked about
Transitions Mental Health.
Mental Health,
Joe
exactly.
Bolster White, right?
Yeah, and they're going to go and renovate the old building. They have an option to purchase it for $100, so the county is giving this away to them. If I were Jill, I would say, of course, I'll take it.
Sure.
You know, it's a freebie. And they, in the option, they have the potential to build three additional buildings and expand this to 35 units of mental health people who will be living there and working out of there. And it's a facility that they want people to – it's not a lockdown. It's not closed in.
Right.
They want to have people walking down through the community. I asked Jill why that location, and she said because people can walk through the community. They can walk downtown. They can go to public transportation.
Right.
So, you know, it's something different. But the biggest concern is that it's poor use of the space. This is a wonderful location.
All right, but a couple of things immediately come to mind. Where are we in the process? Has a decision been made?
So – currently, where we are in the process is that no process has really begun in terms of the public participation.
Okay.
There's been a series of meetings that have been happening behind closed doors, partially because it's a real estate issue and it's one of the things that's not made public, and partially because this deal was sort of brokered by city council member, a supervisor, some city staff people, as an option that they thought would make good use of the space.
So is this a county or a city issue?
It is currently a county issue because they have given the land, the option on the land, away.
Right.
And it will become a city issue because it has to go through the city planning process.
So the city has to approve this.
They will have to. It'll have to go through the historical guidelines and architectural review and perhaps environmental review.
And a final approval by the city council.
Correct.
All right. What's the website that the two, you and others, have organized? Where do you want people to go?
It is sunnyacreshb.com.
Sunnyacreshb.com.
As in historical building.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the site is down right this second. But
I was on there this morning. You have some videos.
We have some videos.
Some pretty good updates, links to articles. It's pretty comprehensive. All right, Shelley, let me hear from you. What are your concerns? Why don't you want this in your neighborhood?
Well, in addition to being a mom, I'm also a mental health professional, and I've been a therapist for 15 years. I spent the first 6 years of my career working in transitional living programs.
Okay.
I know what they're like. Jill is sharing with all of us who communicate with her that Transitions does a bang-up job and they're the best of the best and they have wonderful results. And I'm willing to stipulate that. I'm willing to take her at her word and believe her.
Sure.
But I've worked in very, very good programs, and you cannot guarantee public safety when you're talking about people with substantial mental impairment. My particular street happens to be the dump out for a public easement that allows people to very easily walk from the land and the building onto our street and then get across Johnson to the Jennifer Street Bridge to go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So my street would absolutely become the thoroughfare for foot traffic from that building. I support the program. I support the work that Transitions does in the community. I absolutely feel like they have been terribly short-sighted in conceiving of this project without neighborhood input. We are the ones that will have to live with this day after day after day.
So there's been no neighborhood input up to this point?
Absolutely none.
Right. Nothing.
And I've heard the name John Ashbaugh bandied about. So John is kind of taking the lead on this for the city?
Well, the article in the Tribune indicated that John Ashbaugh, this was his idea.
Right.
And that he took this idea to Adam Hill and the county supervisors, who were prepared to actually sell this land privately to a private developer for a house or condos or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumped in and said, wait a minute, guys, I've got a better idea. I actually don't fault John for that. I understand where he was trying to go with this. I myself think we could probably do a wonderful job of making this a public facility for some good purpose. This is just not the purpose.
Hmm. You share those concerns now, Lenny?
Very much so, because it's a suboptimal use of this property. It looks like it's somebody's favorite project and said, let's go here and do that. Yeah, let's go and do that. But they really haven't thought out of the box about what other options are available. This is a beautiful property, one that could be used in a variety of ways. Shelley, with 2 hours of work, came up with a concept similar to the Headlands. Go ahead, Shelley.
I grew up in the Bay Area and have gone and spent lots of time at a place called the Marin Headlands Center for the Arts.
Right.
It's a wonderful artist-in-residency program that has actually expanded to include all kinds of wonderful community activities. It also generates a lot of revenue for the city of Marin and the city of San Francisco.
But who's got the money to turn it into an arts
center?
Well,
I made some calls and I spoke with an arts director, and she came right over and walked the property with me immediately and indicated that they've been waiting for something like this. She believes that they have just the grant that will provide exactly the amount of money that they would need, with some support from maybe the historical landmark coffers a little bit. And she's really excited and ready to go on this.
And this is the Arts Obispo?
I don't want to. They're not ready to come out yet, so I don't want to. I don't want to jump the gun on.
But your contention, though, that I'm hearing, Shelley, is that there are other organizations with access to money that would put it in a okay. And let me just play the devil's advocate. What would happen to these mentally ill people? Where do they go?
Well, we just approved a 200-bed homeless facility here in San Luis Obispo. Dan Duvall is currently now got approval to build his 80 to 100-bed facility on his property on Los Osos Valley Road. Mm-hmm. That's 300 beds instantly. Okay. I'm not saying we can't use more. I'm just saying this is absolutely not the place to do it.
Hmm. Yeah, I think we could easily work with transitions to try to find a better location. That at least it appears that all of the facilities that Transitions has in our county are all here in San Luis Obispo, yet right. They provide support to the entire county.
Either one of you tried to reach out to Councilman Ashbaugh? Is he open to a meeting? Is he receptive to your concerns?
Well, so far we've been in the information gathering stage, just trying to find out what it's all about.
But right. I will add that we have 12 plus letters of opposition that have been sent to the council members and in some cases the Board of Supervisors. John Ashbaugh's responded to 2 of those letters. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, what we're hearing from him is how we are going to be just safe and just fine, and we shouldn't be worried about this.
Don't worry. We'll take care of you.
Oh, okay. Lenny Hernandez on this broadcast. Shelley Blameño on this broadcast as well. We'll pick up the conversation, your phone call straight ahead. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always, your hometown radio talk show. Bottom of the hour, we have California headline news, and then we'll start inviting your phone calls for Lenny Hernandez and Shelley Blameño. Very concerned about this transitional facility for the mentally ill being proposed in the old Sunny Acres Hall up above Johnson Avenue. Again, Lenny, the website is?
That is sunnyacreshb.com.
Now, we were talking during the break, Shelley. I want you to make some comparisons between this issue and this other issue here in San Luis Obispo involving Cal Poly and the building of the dorms. You see some parallels in what Councilman Ashbaugh has been arguing.
Well, I do. I mean, I think the biggest parallel is that there's been absolutely no attempt to talk to the neighbors about how we feel about what's happening in our neighborhoods.
And how does that relate to the Cal Poly situation?
Well, recently, John Ashbaugh was on your show talking to you about how upset the neighbors are about the new dorms that are going to be built in their neighborhood.
Upset. Yep, very upset.
And John conceded that it was in fact a blunder that Cal Poly did not seek neighborhood involvement in the very beginning of the process. And you at that time asked him what they were going to do about that blunder, and he said, well, they're going to restart the process. Now, they did do that. They came to the same conclusion, but they did restart the process and had a town hall meeting and allowed neighbors to speak, and there were issues that were mitigated. So we're just wondering, is the county going to restart this process? Because this would also be a blunder that falls under the same umbrella.
Obviously, you agree with us.
I agree. Yeah, and the city, the same thing. We're looking for them to facilitate neighborhood involvement and to put together a broader plan of what all is going to happen to that property. How do we get full advantage out of it?
But in fairness, perhaps it's early in the game. And perhaps, she's not buying it, perhaps they're, well, you know, at some point we have to go talk to the neighbors. And we're certainly going to do that. It's just we're not ready yet.
Well, but from the county perspective, they've put the deal to bed.
Right.
I mean, they're kind of out of it because legally they're now bound for 5 years for this property to be optionable by transitions.
Yes, I would say when the county legally optioned that property, that started the process. And that's a big action to take. They took it behind closed doors because it was a real estate venture.
Right.
To me, that was the place where they needed to come to us.
I got you. So now, so the county should have solicited input.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So you're not particularly happy with Supervisor Hill at this point. He's
not
your supervisor.
No. We did reach out to him and ask him to meet with us so we could share our concerns the day after the article came out in the Tribune.
And he said?
He wrote back and agreed to meet and then said he wanted to bring Jill Bolster White with him.
Right.
Now, to me, that doesn't look like somebody who's unbiased and really interested in hearing what the neighbors have to say. I don't need Jill to sell me on this project. I want my supervisor to listen to how concerned I am about the safety of our families.
So is that meeting going to take place?
At this point, we don't know. Lanny did meet with Jill Bolster White the other day.
Well, but to defend Adam Hill, I want this on the record, Joe. I'm going to defend Adam Hill. Wouldn't you want Jill Bolster White there to address your concerns? Because Adam Hill's not a mental health expert.
No, we want him there to listen to our concerns.
You
we
just wanted him to listen.
We don't,
I got you.
Yeah, we don't want him to tell us why we're wrong or why he's done what he's done.
Okay.
We want him to listen.
All right.
Or how wonderful Jill's program is. Again, we think it is wonderful. We
just don't want it
in this neighborhood and this scale.
Well, but let me follow up with that. If it is wonderful, why don't you want it?
Because they're talking about putting upwards of 70 people with the most substantially mentally ill issues in the center of a family neighborhood.
So if you're at risk, then the program can't be that wonderful.
No, that's not true. I think there's lots of wonderful programs that are working with people who have very substantial issues.
Okay.
I mean, this is a poor analogy, but we all need to have a sewage treatment plant. But does it need to get put right next to you? Because even though it's a wonderful treatment plant,
it may not be the best analogy.
No, not the best, but it's certainly effective.
Yeah. All right. So Adam Hill wouldn't listen to you without having Jill Bolster White there. But also come back, please, Shelley, to the idea of the scale of the program.
Mm-hmm.
Can it be effective if it was a smaller program?
Well, Transitions has several small homes throughout the city that have 4 to 8 residents in them. I believe they recently built a larger complex that houses 40 in downtown San Luis Obispo.
In Santa Maria.
No, there's a new one in San Luis Obispo as well. But what research shows is that people do better when they're in environments that replicate a family environment. And so that's why smaller homes.
I was telling you, there's one on my street in Napoma, it's like 4 houses down.
Mm-hmm.
There may be 6, there may be 7, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy came around and gave a flyer, gave his phone number, and that's the last I've heard from anybody. I don't even think about him. You know, but there's a smaller outfit.
Yes. And even with smaller outfits, if you will, we have a neighbor who just bought a home on our street half a year ago. And before that, they were living on a street with a transitional living home for mentally ill people. And there were numerous incidents that were quite frightening.
I'll let you elaborate on that, but let us go to California Headline News and find out what's happening around the state. Joe Bowman has local news and traffic. Scott Taylor has weather. And then we'll start taking your phone calls for my guests as we talk about this proposed transitional facility for the mentally ill here in San Luis Obispo. I'm Dave Congleton. This is News Talk 920 KVEC, hometown radio for the Central Coast. We're glad to have you with us this afternoon. Stick around for more of our conversation. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Straight ahead, we'll do our 4th District Supervisor straw poll. Who would you vote for in the race for County Supervisor? This hour, we continue with our neighbors visiting from above Johnson Avenue. Lenny Hernandez is here. Shelley Blumenue is also here. They're opposed. They're concerned about this transitional facility for the mentally ill being proposed. You want to enter the conversation, pick up the phone, give us a call. 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. We invite your participation in the conversation. Meanwhile, Lenny, for folks just tuning in, let's remind them, please, of the basis of the issues. What are you concerned about?
Well, we're concerned about the fact that the property is not really being taken fully advantage, that there are risks and fears for these mental retarded people there, for the neighborhood, and we're concerned that the city and the county have really not looked for neighborhood input and concern. They've just gone ahead without even talking to anybody.
And aside from that one exchange with Supervisor Hill, you haven't heard from anybody in City Hall, the county building?
We have not.
543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Daryl's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Daryl, what's up?
I'm just calling in regards to the two neighbors that have concerns.
Yes.
I just want to say that I'm the president of the National Alliance on Mental Illness for San Luis Obispo County.
Can I get you to turn your radio down so we can hear you, Daryl?
Oh, turn my radio down?
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say, you know, they've talked about how TEMA hasn't thought out this project. They have. I've been to their board meetings, and the county approved it. They know they have to go through the city. And we felt that it was a good project because county mental health is there, the psychiatric unit's there, probation's there, so it made a lot of sense.
Right.
And Transitions Mental Health Association just doesn't put people in there. They basically have to get services through, like, mental health and through TEMA. And they have to follow not just the rules of the community, but they have to follow strict rules of TEMA, where they have to obey, you know, in their community, and they can't be wandering around and things like that.
Hang on a second. Let's have Shelley respond. What do you say to that, Shelley?
Well, I'm not familiar with some of the terms he's using. I know that people who sign on to move into a transitional living program have to sign a contract and make agreements of how they will behave, and that may go well if people are compliant with their medications and seeking their treatment. But what we know is that there are high rates of noncompliance for medications, and patients with psychotic disorders have substantial issues in that regard.
Daryl?
With Transitions Mental Health Association, they do have to – they have, like, a case manager – and they have to follow rules that they're going to their medical doctor, and they have to show proof. And we have found that helping people in the mental health community, and we're not talking like severe mental health issues either, like what they're talking about, but they follow the guidelines, and they turn out to be very productive citizens. There could be 100 home community where people move in, and it's suburbia, which I grew up in. But there's not a checkoff list for somebody that says, I'm a robber, I'm a rapist, no, or a murderer. So we don't know that. That person could be living right next door to us. So it's the stigma that's attached to this mental health issue.
Is this just a stigma you're concerned about here, Shelley?
Not at all. And in our case, we are talking about, and this is Jill Bolster White's quote, the most substantially mentally impaired patients in the county. And med compliance, you can have someone sign a piece of paper that says, I will take my medication, but that doesn't mean they're actually always going to do so.
All right, Daryl, thanks for the call. I've offered Jill Bolster White equal time. If the other side wants to come on, I'm glad to provide that. Meanwhile, we move on. Bob is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Bob. To your guests.
Hi.
One comment I heard from the lady talking was about how it's proven that these operations in smaller individual homes show a marked improvement in patient benefits.
You said that, Shelley, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And what strikes me is what you're trying to do with this facility is turn it into an institution by having it be so large.
Absolutely.
So many people.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And putting it by the psych unit and putting it behind county mental health, you're absolutely right.
So it's kind of like maybe they're making it more convenient for their operation, but does it really have the patient's best interest to put so many people of a similar situation together?
Good question.
Especially in a residential neighborhood.
Well, it's an excellent point, and I agree completely.
Thanks for bringing it up, Bob. Thank you. Mike is calling in on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
How's it going today?
We're good, Mike. How are you?
Oh, just driving up the grade.
All right, what's on your mind?
What are you guys exactly talking about now? I kind of got the gist of it, then I thought I knew what you guys were talking about. Now I'm not sure.
All right, well, listen for a while and call back if you want. Thank you. 543-8830. I don't have time to translate. 1-800-549-5832. Barry's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Barry. Barry, you there? Barry's not there. There's a conspiracy here. What's the website for people who want to get involved in this issue, Lenny?
That is, got me, you surprised me there, sunnyacreshb.com.
We got a Dave in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Dave. Hello, Dave. Dave, I hear you.
Hello.
Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Hi. My name is Dave Bernhardt. I'm a retired physician, and I'm on the board of Transitions.
Can you turn your radio down so you can hear us, Dave?
I will. Just a second.
Thank you very much, doctor. There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, it's been interesting to listen. First of all, I would hope that the two folks there, you know, continue to learn about this thing. They're thinking, you know, I've been on the board for quite a while, and I practiced medicine there for a long time, and you know, and it is complicated, but it is a highly needed service, which I think is being overblown in terms of its dangers. I would certainly hope that the two of them and anybody else in the neighborhood would go visit the other places, talk to the neighbors, find out what the experience has been around town.
It's my understanding, doctor, though, that Shelley, you actually worked in the field.
I did.
Well, and I did too, but...
Well, can I actually share an experience from my professional work?
Sure.
I was the manager of a transitional living home for teenage girls who had been previously in the sex trade industry, and they were mostly just teen girls who'd been on the streets of San Francisco. I managed that program. It was a safe house, meaning it was also supposed to be a private location.
Right.
We did actually, because Gavin Newsom insisted on this, go to the neighbors where we were going to be putting the house and speak to them ahead of time. The neighborhood supported us. We opened a home and we moved the girls in, and within weeks they were giving the address out to local pimps. We had so much activity going on the street that it was almost unmanageable.
I guess the question comes down to, Dave, whether or not the community is entitled to have input into this process.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You have to realize this board is a broad-based community board.
Right. But I'm talking about the police chiefs. But I'm talking about the neighborhood, the neighbors themselves, Dave.
Well, there are some folks that live up there. I actually used to live right immediately below Sunny Acres.
Well, I've talked to, Dave, I've talked to over 100 neighbors in the vicinity of this property. And only one of them was even willing to consider the possibility of this project. We overwhelmingly do not want this.
Well, I hear you clearly. But I would counsel that you probably could learn more. First of all, there's a fair amount of misinformation that I think, at least that I get on the board. The initial project is going to have 13 units. And it may grow out to as many as 22 more, but at the pace this thing goes, it could be forever.
So does that mean 22 clients?
Well, some of them are duplexes and some of them not. And I can't tell you the exact number, but it's nothing.
A total of 35 units.
So you got 35 units.
Yeah, we did the math. It'll be about 70 people.
All right, Dave. Again, I'm offering equal time to Jill Bolster-White, so I'm hoping somebody from Transitions comes in and gives your perspective. I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Peggy's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
Hi.
I live in the vicinity, in the neighborhood of that building
Okay.
that we're discussing.
Yes.
And It is a nice big building, and it's the thing that I'm concerned about is not so much the units, the numbers of people they plan to put in that building itself, but the project calls for possibly three more buildings, and all of them will be very close together because this is a very compact site where they're talking about in the map on the project. And so I cannot imagine how the people who are being treated there are going to feel anything other than being in an institution.
Hmm.
I feel like we are going to feel like we live next door to an institution that we look at from our home.
She's echoing Bob's comment earlier in the hour. Anybody want to respond to what she's saying?
No, I think she's right. That's the issue of going up to 35 units, up to 70 people on just a one-acre lot. It's a very small part of
it. And it's a large lot of land that we're talking about, almost 4 acres total, I think.
More than that.
Okay. So what becomes of the rest of that land? Who else would want to be up there other than more direct service related to this issue?
Fair enough. Peggy, thank you for calling. We move on to Leslie in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Dave. Hi,
Leslie.
Your guest.
Hi.
I used to live up that way on Crestview Circle, although I don't live there anymore. But I was contacted by someone asking my opinion about it. And, you know, my concern is the same one that someone else echoed, and that is I think these folks do better in much smaller living arrangements. Now, I live on Ocean Air Drive. There's a house across the street from me that's rented by some group, and they have, I don't know if it's transitional housing or assisted housing or something. None of the guys are all quite right, but they've been great neighbors. But there's like 4 or 5 guys who live in this house. They keep to themselves. I know there's somebody who's in charge there. And my gut feeling is it's a lot like public housing. The city has done a real good job in terms of spreading out low-cost public housing. You don't see these big housing projects like you'd see in Detroit or St. Louis or something. And if we're going to do this, I really believe it would be much better to be done on a smaller home scale where you have 4 or 5 people maybe living together in part of a neighborhood and somebody's there to watch over them, like I have across the street from me. I just really feel that would be better. And, you know, I don't understand it. They're going to spend probably millions of dollars building this thing, and they could probably pick up a bunch of houses for the same amount of money be able to do this.
Leslie makes 2 really good points here. The first is that it's going to cost upwards of $5 million to rehab this building. That's mostly going to come from taxpayer money through grants and public money. I believe that if Transitions can get their hands on $5 million, it shouldn't go to rehab a building. It should go to direct service for patients that they want to treat.
And what was your second good point?
And my second good point was that she talked about how there's these 4 or 5 guys and she's not quite sure what they're there for. Oftentimes those homes are homes that people are living in transitionally as they're getting treatment for drug and alcohol recovery.
Yes.
They're wonderful places. And they do have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week staff person. This project only calls for the equivalent of 1 full-time employee, 9 to 5.
9 to 5.
During the week, not even counting weekends.
All right. Anything else, Leslie?
No, but I really appreciate the program. And, you know, it's just been my experience that, you know, people do better when they're not all jammed together like rats in a cage, especially when you're dealing with folks like this. And the people across the street from me have been great neighbors. And if they wanted to put another house in like that around here, I would not have a problem with that based on my experience with them.
And neither would I.
Some of the people have moved on, so it must be somewhat successful.
All right, Leslie, thank you. I feel the same way about the house on my street. There hasn't been any trouble yet. Let's go back to Barry. Hi, Barry.
Yes, hi there, Dave.
Hi.
Hi. I work for Transitions Mental Health Association. I've been involved with the organization for about 24 years now. I was involved with homeless housing, and I'm aware of the housing projects that we have. And I would really encourage Lanny and Shelley to connect with Jill to keep the conversation moving along. I'm hearing a lot of inaccuracies as far as what the program's going to be like, who the people are that are going to be moving in, probably a lot of things that we don't have time to address right now. Yeah. But I really encourage them to continue to have the conversation, because I think from what I see with this process, we're really at early innings with this. And I know that Jill and John Ashbaugh and everybody has been really wanting the neighbors to come and talk and get their input. Transitions has been in this community for 35 years.
But how do you know that, Barry? How do you know that?
We've done projects.
How do you know that?
Let me finish for a second.
No. Look, Transitions does not take over this show. You do not call in and tell me to wait. These folks have been ignored. They're on my show because I'm not ignoring them.
Thank you for that. I mean, Transitions can stack the deck. They can get everybody. They obviously found out we were on today, and they got everybody on their board and in their offices to call here. But once again, who are we not getting to hear from? Because they're calling, we are not getting to hear from the neighbors. And the few that have gotten through have agreed with our position.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap things up. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. Let me sneak in Ray in San Luis. He's a neighbor. Hey, Ray.
How are you, Dave?
Oh, good. You got about a minute.
Take 30 seconds. So I appreciate the two people that are on today. They're really speaking for the neighbors, and being a neighbor that's very involved in city politics, the only reason I found out about this was because of my neighbors. I want to say that I support a mental health facility in the city of San Luis Obispo. I think the best location, though, is probably off of Prado Road, where they want to build a homeless shelter and add to the homeless shelter that they have. It, too, is very close to downtown. I am against them building a mental health facility of this size in what I consider probably one of the highest owner-occupied areas, owner-occupied home areas in San Luis Obispo.
We're out of time. Ray, thank you very much. Again, Lanny, the website is?
Website is sunnyacreshb.com.
Don't forget the HB. Shelley, final thoughts.
I appreciate the time you've given us today. We have not been able to have a voice in this process. And I look forward to working with my neighbors going forward. We're taking this all the way. This is our lives.
You have a voice now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Final thought.
Yeah. Come to our website. Learn more about the project. Don't be fooled just because Transitions is so good. This isn't the place where
it should
be. But
they're nice people.
No, they're great people.
I don't
want
to beat up on Transitions.
No, I know. That's the key.
Except for Barry. Don't ever tell me to be. All right, thanks, folks.
Thank you, Dave.
Stay with us throughout the week, the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Now, let me hold off on the straw poll for a minute because Mike Bird's already trying to stack the phone calls in his favor, which is fine. It's the silly season, but we had people calling in as early as 5 o'clock. I just want to follow up on this last segment. We had Lanny Hernandez and Shelley Blamenu here arguing against this transitional facility for the mentally ill. I have no position on this until I was contacted by Shelley. I didn't know anything about it. But I will say this. I will say that I see in Shelley the same thing I saw in Marsha Guthrie with the Save Price Canyon campaign. And the folks in Pismo Beach have tried to marginalize Marsha Guthrie. They've tried to dismiss her. They've tried to criticize her. And Marsha Guthrie never went away. And now Marsha Guthrie is the one driving that whole Price Canyon Spanish Springs thing because she has delivered. And I'm telling you that this woman, Shelley, strikes me pretty much the same. And she is prepared to go to court to block this. And instead of Transitions calling in and trying to take over the show and marginalize and dismiss these people, you need to listen to them. You need to reach out to the neighborhood. You need to include the neighbors in the conversation. I'm not saying that you listen to them or do exactly what they tell you to do. I'm not an expert on stuff like this, but these neighbors are concerned. And they're especially concerned that all this is being done and no one is talking to them. They don't have a voice. Finally,
if I may address this without sounding egotistical or self-centered. I am sitting here during the 4 o'clock hour with yet another reminder that local radio matters. Because these folks had nowhere else to go to have their voices heard. And they were able to come on their local radio station and be given an hour to get their message out. And maybe, just maybe, somebody in the county building or city hall or transitions was listening. We know the board members were. And you will reach out to these folks and begin a dialogue. Because otherwise, they're going to keep coming back on this show. Because I'm willing to listen to what they have to say.
There you go. Well, I was calling for I wanted to ask the name of the website again for the people who were talking about the Sunny Acres possible mental health.
It should be sunnyacreshb.org or .com. Sunny Acres HB, because they don't want the title confused with the other Sunny Acres.
Right, because I looked at Sunny Acres HB, but I did not look at sunnyacreshb.org. I looked at .com. So I just think that, you know, they have some really valid points, and I think the thing that was most disheartening was hearing them say, we've had no voice.
Yeah, exactly. And then the board members from Transitions, which is a fine organization,
it is,
tried to hijack the show. Not smart. And just makes them look bad. It makes them look like they don't want to have a dialogue with the neighbors, and that implies that they have something to hide. Now, they probably don't, so have a town hall meeting up there and let the neighbors come and have their say.
Well, and I think part of the other issue there is that if that's part of the green space, what are the building regulations there for putting more, for putting more infrastructure in an area like that? I mean, I don't know what the regulations are. I know that the synagogue had to jump through a bunch of hoops. All the housing across the street had to jump through a bunch of hoops. Do they have the funding? Do they have the backing to do that? That would be my primary question.
Well, it's based upon getting these grants, which means that you and I and Joe are going to pay for it because it's all taxpayer money.
Well, and it's grants for building it, but is there a fiscal infrastructure for sustaining it?
Probably not.
And and that becomes an issue, too, because I think that when we look at starting a new program or putting a program someplace, you always have to look at, is there the fiscal infrastructure for that, or could the grant be used to place people elsewhere? For example, you know, we have plenty of places in town. There's the old General Hospital. I don't know if that's being utilized or not.
Yes, it's used by the county.
Well, I mean, you know, but the whole hospital is?
You know, this is how cities get their hands on all that grant money that's out there. And actually, my hometown, Yucaipa, California, they've built up tons of stuff just so they can get their hands on state and federal grant money for growth. But no one's moving in.
And that's a problem. It's so hard to drive around and see empty storefronts and empty buildings, places. And it's not just I'm not just talking about the city of San Luis, but I'm talking about all over the county.
Yeah.
And so when you look at things like that and you say, okay, is there a way to support this? I mean, you have to look 50, 20 years down the road. And mental health is a very difficult issue because people with mental health issues are social pariahs. And it's not like if they said, look, we want to put in a hospice facility or we want to put in, you know, something else that people would be maybe a little more amenable to. And so it makes the community look it makes them look bad because it's like, okay, here's the outcast of society, and you don't want them in your neighborhood either. I don't even know if it's the people. I think part of the issue is there the infrastructure to support something?
And that didn't even come up in the discussion. We're just focused on the building itself and not what happens after it opens up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think that you have to look 10, 15, 20 years down the road for everything. I mean, what happens when Dan Duvall passes? Because he's not going to live forever.
But see, this is not... This is a different Sunny Acres.
Oh, okay.
Keep that in mind. And this is going to get confusing for people. This is not the Sunny Acres on Los Osos Valley Road.
Okay.
This is the Sunny Acres, which used to be a juvenile facility up above Johnson, up above French Hospital, up above General Hospital.
Well, and there's quite a bit of housing there, and I can see why people would be a little reticent.
Yeah. They need to change the name. because it's going to get confusing with the other Sunny Acres.
It is, and that's where I was confused. That's why I was thinking they were putting a whole new building in. But there's already a structure there, but who knows if it's been retrofitted, if it's, I mean.
If you go to that website, Robin, it's all there.
Okay.
Thank you, dear.
Thanks.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on KVEC.
Yeah, it's Vita.
Hi, Vita. What's up?
Yeah, well, I was going to comment about the issue of using Sunny Acres there behind. That is behind General Hospital.
Right.
I mean, maybe a lot of your listeners may not be aware. And that building has been there, I think, as long as the hospital has been there. I'm not quite certain, but certainly close to it. It was a tuberculosis unit at one time.
Yes.
And I do know it was used by juvenile services. And as I recall, when the hospital was still open, there was a proposal to reopen it as a juvenile hall type of thing, but that never happened. The other thing is that when General Hospital was closing, they kind of talked about the idea of expanding the inpatient mental health unit, which is certainly needed. I believe there's still only, it's either 14 or 17 beds, I don't remember, which is pitifully small for this area. And, of course, that didn't happen because the county decided to entirely remodel the building for offices, other offices. But I did want to make a point about the building, Sunny Acres. It's been there a long time, probably a lot longer than those, you know, before those homes were built.
Sure.
So there was some kind of facility there already. And, you know, we keep talking about, every time there's one of these mass shootings, we keep talking about how there's a greater need for mental health services. We have to increase mental health services in our communities. And this is an attempt to do that. I understand their point of view, and it's wonderful that they had the opportunity to discuss their point of view. But I'm making two points. The building has been there, I would bet, a lot longer than their homes were there. It has been used for many, many different purposes. And also, there's certainly a need for increased mental health services.
But quickly,
by the way,
but
by the way, we all live around people who are mentally ill. Mental illness is not just confined to a few people. Mentally ill people live everywhere throughout the county.
By their different degrees.
Of course there are. And I would imagine the people that would be in this kind of facility would be pretty well screened. That's never a guarantee.
Sure.
But...
And as I said earlier, I have a house on my street, and there's never been a problem. Thank you, Vita. Here's the news. Stick around for more of Hometown Radio. Thanks to Arnold Jonas and Andrew Merriam for coming in and talking about National Train Day that's coming up on May 10th. Thanks to Lisa Knoffel for reminding us, hello, that this Saturday is the last symphony concert. You can still get tickets. Thanks to Lenny Hernandez and Shelley Blamenu for causing trouble and wondering why they want to put a transitional facility for the mentally ill right next to a residential neighborhood in San Luis. Thanks to everyone who participated in the straw poll and in the last call. Oh, Lord, it's the most unpredictable hour of local radio. Final thoughts, Mr. Bowman.
Folks, just want to encourage you all to patronize the folks who advertise with KVEC and all the El Dorado stations. Helps keep us on the air and keeps giving you that great programming that you love.
Hear, hear. Come on by the Downtown Center tomorrow from 3 to 7 and say hi. I'll be broadcasting from there. And we'll see you back in the studio on Wednesday with Dan Dow and Don Morris. I'm Dave Congleton. Thank you for listening. Now, Una, Einer, Toby, Daisy Jane, Little Gus, and Big Gus. Get off the couch, get out the leashes. I'm coming home.